Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
This is a topic that I brought to you weeks ago, and it became very clear to me through the Tim Tebow Foundation, and they were talking about human trafficking. And it sounded like this was being brought up because of the pandemic. It seemed like the Tim Tebow Foundation was really honing in on this. I started to see a couple of major news networks talking about human trafficking, and I thought, okay, maybe because of the pandemic, this is happening a little bit more. But it turns out I was able to connect with our FBI units here in Connecticut in the Northeast area. Turns out human trafficking has been defined as the oldest profession, and it's not something to be proud of, but the awareness level has kind of fluctuated based on who is focusing on it. It has always been a major problem. Again, this is according to the FBI. I have been told it really starts to become a point of contention when maybe rappers or anyone in the music industry start to talk about showing up in major towns and cities and bringing other girls, essentially recruiting girls to be trafficked. And that's when we really started to see it in the public eye years and years ago. And since then, it'll come up in waves, whether somebody brings it up in the news, if somebody brings it up as a celebrity, but it's kind of back again. And I don't really want it to go away, but certainly, and when I mean go away, I don't want the topic to go away. I want to be able to curb this issue. So I'm really, really excited this morning to be able to talk to Special Agent Wendy Bowersox, who is here this morning. And Special Agent Wendy, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Melissa.
So I want to first talk about defining human trafficking, because 9 times out of 10, when people hear that, first of all, they don't think it exists here in Connecticut. But second of all, they immediately think about the movie Taken, like Liam Neeson and, you know, I'll come and find you and all of that. But that's not what we're talking about. What does typical human trafficking look like here?
Right. So there are a couple of facets that are involved when you talk about human trafficking. There is sex trafficking of minors, there is sex trafficking of adults, and then there is also labor trafficking and domestic servitude. Most people, when they talk about human trafficking, they're referring to the concept of sex trafficking. And you're absolutely right. When I give a lot of presentations, I always bring up Taken because that's what people's assumptions are, and that's not what this looks like at all. These are your everyday people that are walking around that we pass on a regular basis. And I say that if you are an individual who stays in hotels on any type of regular basis during a year, you most likely walk right past a sex trafficking victim. They are not screaming for help. They are not, you know, begging for someone to save them. A lot of times, for many different reasons, they very much feel like they want to be in the situation where they are, and they have the situation under control.
Wow. So immediately when you talk about human trafficking, I have to ask this. So do people know they're being trafficked? Like, do they know that's what it's being defined as?
So a lot of times when I've come across victims, they know the term human trafficking, but a lot of times, no. So when I first started investigating these crimes, and I'm specifically now referring to sex trafficking, you sort of come into working these crimes thinking that you're going to almost save people, that you're going to help people. And ultimately, you do help people. But the first time I walked into a room where there was a sex trafficking victim, she was angry with me. She was yelling at me, "You're ruining my life. Get out of here. There's nothing wrong here. I want to be here." Wow. So a lot of times they don't define themselves as victims, which makes them not appear as victims to the rest of us in society.
So could you paint the picture? Because when I was speaking with Mr. Grady, who's with the FBI unit, and he was kind of telling me some stories, I had to stop him because I said, okay, so basically, you could be a parent, let's just say, living in Westport, Connecticut, and your child, who's a teenager, let's just say, or even your college student, if they're looking for pills or something like that, they could be, without knowing it, using their bodies basically to get what they need. And they think they're kind of in with a crowd when really they are being human trafficked. And a lot of times parents don't even realize it. So would you mind kind of painting a picture? You don't have to give names or anything like that, but like explain what this looks like so that our listeners can understand it better.
Sure. So I'll give sort of the basic idea of what it is that we normally see in most of the cases we investigate. And sometimes, Melissa, it's actually even simpler than that. I have investigated numerous cases where these kids are walking down the sidewalk. Somebody pulls up beside them, says, "Hey, do you want to ride?" And the kid says, "Sure, sounds good." And they get in the car and they go with this individual. Now, normally, I'm going to talk a lot about females as the victims because that's what we tend to see most of the time, though that's not to say that there aren't male victims. There absolutely are. But a lot of times when these young girls get in these cars with these gentlemen, they very quickly start to develop some sort of feelings for them. Normally, there is some vulnerability in these kids somewhere. Now, they might come from the perfect home. They might be in foster care. They can sort of run the gamut of that, but they have some sort of vulnerability inside themselves. And these traffickers are great at finding that vulnerability and latching on to it. And then they almost become this loving, in the eyes of the victim, this loving, caring person. And then they'll hang out for a little bit, and then very quickly it will turn into something like, "Okay, well, we're going to do great things. We're going to get a house together. We're going to start a business together. But we just need to get on our feet. So I just need you to start having sex with some of these guys for money." And a lot of times, my opinion is that these kids, they don't know what to do in that situation. So they agree and they just start going along with it.
Wow. Wendy, you were saying before that a lot of times you'll even meet victims who feel like they are not defined as people being human trafficked. And it seems like kind of the manipulation of the mind. You start to get into either a relationship with the abuser or whatever the case sort of may be. So is it even possible to get out of human trafficking? Is there a way to even curb this problem?
So I would say that the way to curb the problem is really for the community needs to work together. So first we have to be able to define it. And we go around and do a lot of trainings with a lot of different groups to include police departments. So when officers respond as sort of first responders to, let's say, a noise complaint at a hotel, they might take a different look at it and might be able to find some red flags of trafficking. We do trainings at hotels because a lot of times with sex trafficking, this is occurring at hotels. So we talk to the cleaning staff for things to look for to then reach out to us. Because even if they're then gone, it's always something that we can follow back up on and try to figure out what's going on. We do trainings with hospitals. Some of these girls end up showing up in hospitals. So we talk to hospitals. I talk a lot with many different social workers, with individuals who are coming into their emergency departments. And we also work with a lot of the organizations around the state who help work with these victims, because it absolutely is possible to get them out. We just have to find them. And then once you find them, it is a constant daily exercise to work with them to try to get their mind thinking differently. And a lot of times when you pull these kids out of these situations, many times the situation that you're putting them back in sadly isn't any better. And so you have to try to do your best to curb that as well.
It's such a mind-blowing reality that's been around for so long. And sometimes I think to myself, I can't believe it's been around for that long, but it's understandable why it's gone on for such a long time. What age range are we talking about here? You know, I obviously it can run the gamut, but are we talking about preteens? Are we talking about 12-year-olds, or are we talking about mostly high school kids, college kids? Where are we seeing that human trafficking is kind of starting and we're seeing the bulk of it happening in Connecticut?
So most studies are showing that the average age a child gets involved in trafficking is 12 to 14. But what I would say we've seen mostly here in Connecticut, the average age of the sex trafficking victims that I have come across is probably 15, 16.
They're still so young. They're still babies. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And Melissa, if I could just make a quick note about, you mentioned that some people don't think it's a problem in Connecticut. I would just like to put out there that it absolutely is a problem in Connecticut. We just arrested two people for sex trafficking in August. When talking to pimps, when we do arrest them, we are seeing, because of where Connecticut is situated, a lot of pimps are coming into Connecticut from New York, and a lot of pimps are coming into Connecticut from the Boston area. Connecticut is viewed by these individuals, by these traffickers, as having old white man money. So Connecticut is viewed as having a lot of individuals who would be willing to pay for sex. And the hotels are normally cheaper in this area than in some of the cities that you see in our neighboring states.
So like a New York City or a Boston. Sure. Sure.
Right. So a lot of times they'll sort of cross over those lines. Now we have our own individuals here. The individuals who were just arrested in August were from the East Hartford area, but we also are seeing sort of this cross. So we're getting victims that are coming into our state from other states, and we're getting traffickers coming into our state from other states as well as those that we have here. So it definitely is a problem here in Connecticut.
Wendy, why do you think it's not? I mean, obviously, like you said, the FBI works very closely with these cases and tirelessly, might I add. I know that there are campaigns that go out, but you know, to me, I find that this is a jarring. When you're talking about 15 and 16 year olds, that's an age where parents sometimes are a little more lax about should they go to parties and if their kids should start drinking or if their kids should even be engaging in sex. And look, I don't want to act naive at all. I too was a teenager. I too broke the rules. And you know, but I was monitored by my parents enough that I certainly never got in with this. But I think what's alarming, not just the age, but the fact that these people have targets on their backs without even knowing. So like you're saying, there are people who come from money. They maybe drive a nice car. Or they really don't need anything from these people, but they just sort of scream, hey, you're my target. And they somehow sort of fall into this, I don't want to say trap, because a lot of times they're willing to, but they're young minds that haven't even developed yet. I'm wondering why this isn't talked about more, especially because this station is based in Fairfield County. That is prime real estate for, I hate to say it, but human trafficking. So I'm just surprised this isn't talked about more.
Yeah, you know, I find that it seems to sort of ebb and flow of when people talk about it. And I think whenever I go out and give trainings, and I've given trainings to all different types of groups, I think, you know, people are very interested. They think it's a terrible thing. But I think then when they go back out into society, you know, they're just not seeing it. So I think it's very easy to sort of fall back into that thought process that it's not happening here, which, again, just isn't true, because you could walk right past them and they just look like a 16-year-old going to the vending machine. You know, they're not beaten up. They don't even necessarily look drugged out. They're just going to get a snack from the vending machine. So it's just, it's hard to see. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think it needs to be given some more attention, because it's going to take everybody to try and help combat this. And there are many avenues where your average individuals can reach out and call in complaints. There is an FBI tip line. There is the Polaris Project, where referrals can be made. You can leave your name. You can not leave your name. You can remain anonymous. Just note, hey, I was at such and such hotel. I think I saw something funky, and it'll eventually route its way to us. And then, you know, we can do whatever we need to do with it from there.
Mm-hmm. And especially, I just want to also add before I let you go, Wendy, when you talk about recruiting girls, a lot of times you find with these human trafficking situations that, you know, a girl will be involved in this and she will then go back to school, pick up a couple of her girlfriends. Hey, why don't you come to this party with me? And it kind of goes on and on. I hate to say it's sort of like the Epstein cases that we've seen, but it's very much like that. And I think I would be very remiss if I didn't say that if you have a friend who comes to you, if you have a teenage friend who comes to you and says, you know, do you want to start hanging out with my friends, you know, and you're not aware of it or your parents aren't aware of it, I would be very cautious to, you know, to go, essentially. I know that you trust your friends, but that's one of those things where if you don't know where these parties are happening or who the parents are, call me old school. But the recruiting girls, that's another terrifying thing.
Absolutely. And we actually are starting to see an increase in kids trafficking other kids, mm-hmm. which is not something that the FBI necessarily investigates. But we are seeing that. And, you know, there's a big pull to this type of life for some of these kids, because some of these kids can make $1,000 in a night. That's huge to kids. So they can buy themselves all the things that they want. And a lot of the thought processes that come from the traffickers is something like, well, you're having sex anyway, so you may as well get money. Mm-hmm. And you can make $1,000 in a night, you know? And so there's a lot of pulls for these kids to either think that they want to go into the life or that they stay in the life.
FBI Special Agent Wendy Bowersox, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this at such great length. I really appreciate it, and I'd love to have you back on sometime.
Of course. Thank you, Melissa.
This is sponsored by Mitchell & Sheehan, personal, professional, affordable, trusted representation office. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz is here. And Lieutenant Governor, I can't thank you enough for coming on this morning. How are you?
I am well, and thank you so much for having me to talk about this really important issue.
Yeah, so I know it's not comfortable. I've let our audience know that it's certainly not a comfortable topic, but it's something that is incredibly, well, it's irrelevant because it's happening right now. It's been happening for a very long time, but I think a lot of times people don't associate human trafficking with something you'd see here in Connecticut. We had FBI Special Agent Wendy Bowersox on before, and she debunked that theory completely, which I appreciated. And I wanted to sort of talk to you a little bit. I know in your women's group that you guys have talked about human trafficking and sort of the things we're seeing, even from a business side of things. What have you guys found?
So first of all, I have focused on this work along with our Council on Women and Girls. This is a statewide group that the governor created to address issues affecting women and girls, and all of our state commissioners and members of law enforcement are part of this group. And one of the reasons that we are extremely concerned is that we are seeing more than 200 children a year referred to our State Department of Children and Families as either high risk of becoming a victim of human trafficking or confirmed victims. So since 2008, there have been more than 800 children in the DCF system who we believe have been victims of human trafficking. And that is incredibly disturbing. And we know that we have unfortunately not identified all of those victims. And the other thing we know in our state is one in four girls and one in six boys are sexually abused by the time they're 18. And 75% of the children that have been abused are at risk of being further victimized as they get older and become adults. So we really need to educate people in Connecticut about what this looks like and what to look out for.
So I have a two-part question for you that we could break down. I'm going to start with, honestly, parents. I know that a lot of times we look to see what schools can do to address this and to educate our kids mm-hmm. about. But I'm going to start, honestly, at the home, because I feel like we're the ones who decided to have these kids, so we should probably start it. So first and foremost, from your standpoint and a lawmaker standpoint, do you believe we should be having conversations introducing what human trafficking is to some extent? I understand not going full blown, but, you know, look, in middle school, we have health classes and we start to talk about the birds and the bees and we talk about drugs and we talk about, you know, that date rape exists by the time you're a freshman in high school. why isn't human trafficking, I should say, why isn't that more common language that families are talking about? Like, why didn't my parents really know much about human trafficking? I didn't really know much about human trafficking, and I have a child.
We need to, as parents and grandparents and family members, all be talking about this. And maybe one of the reasons that you and I didn't hear so much about this when we were kids is the internet was not either created or so pervasive. So we should be worried about our kids, especially now, because kids are, you know, maybe doing part of their school online. And when kids are at home and not supervised and have access to the internet, you have to worry about internet-based prostitution, bullying, and all of that. This is trafficking is related to the drug trade, and kids need to be educated about trafficking and drugs, and also I think, as you pointed out, being very careful about friends and where kids are going and what they're doing when they're not in your home, because that is clearly a huge problem. And homelessness is a major contributor to drug trafficking. And we, at the state level, we're trying to deal with this because we want to make sure that kids have stable living situations so that they don't turn to trafficking, because that's what they need for shelter. The other point I want to make, because there were a series of articles written by Emily Munson and Caitlin Krasselt at the Hearst newspapers about sex trafficking at massage parlors. So this is a problem for children. This is also a problem for immigrants who come to the United States, come to Connecticut, with these age-old promises of the streets are paved in gold. And what these articles focused on is mainly immigrant women working at massage parlors. Now, think about suburban towns, big cities. They're everywhere. Almost every town or city has one or more of these massage parlors. And that is another way that people are being trafficked. Mm-hmm. And because immigrants are afraid, because maybe they're not here legally, or they feel they're breaking the law, aren't going to want to come forward. Mm-hmm. And law enforcement at the local level often doesn't have the tools. You have to have cyber experts, because a lot of clients, come because of internet advertising. This is not something like a break-in that you can simply prosecute, after you arrest somebody. It takes weeks of building evidence.
It's very intricate.
And so, yeah, it's hard. These are difficult things. The other thing I will say, because the FBI agent spoke about hotels, and what was very interesting is that there was a case of a young woman who was being trafficked. She was an American woman being trafficked against her will. And several years after she finally got out of that very difficult situation where she was held against her wishes at a hotel, she was able to go after the hotel as the deep pocket in a civil lawsuit, because she knew that workers at the hotel, the people who cleaned, people who worked at the hotel, knew what the situation was, but didn't tell anyone. So That's why all of us, as people who hopefully in the near future will be able to stay at hotels, go on vacation, can be on the lookout. People who work at hotels can be on the lookout for these kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you bringing our attention to that, Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz, and thank you for the work that you're doing. And we hope to continue making strides, making progress on this, because it is, like you said, a very daunting and alarming reality that we're living in. So thank you.
Thank you so much.